Here's Sabonis knocking up on his toes, doesn't shoot the 20-footer, gives to Herter, drives, kicks to the corner. Harrison Barnes says, thank you, and he drops the three-point hammer. Harrison is now 3 of 6 from downtown. He's got 9 points.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. The three-point hammer. That's G-Man right there. Gotta love him.
Hammer!
And look, Harrison Barnes set the tone for us, and we're going to set the tone right here. Because Chris Watkins has been seeing some things.
Yep.
And it's not that you even want to do this, but you don't have a choice.
I kind of don't at this point.
And yes, we're going to go there. For those listening, it is time to have the conversation that we will probably have about 20 more times between their careers, the three of their careers. And I wouldn't say it's just who got traded. I would also put
who was
number five in this conversation as well. I will give you the floor, my good sir.
Yeah, so for all those who aren't on social media, first off, good for you. Second off, you've been missing some uproar. And, of course, it gets brought up all the time. But it's been reinvigorated with the play of Tyrese Haliburton recently. And the struggles of the Kings, I think, definitely played a factor into it. But, yes, we are, of course, talking about the Sabonis-Haliburton trade. It's been reinvigorated, like I said, on online discussions. It's been going on for the past week or so, but again, just kind of got rebooted today. This is from Anthony Irwin, who writes for Blue Wire Podcast for the Lakers. He says, I keep seeing some version of, quote, boy, the Pacers sure fleeced Sacramento for Haliburton. I think it's a perfect modern NBA take. People are just completely forgetting what Sabonis does for the Kings just because of the numbers Haliburton puts up. Someone responds to that and says, take at the time Kings got fleeced last year. Both teams are winning the trade. Mm-hmm. And then this year, all of a sudden, again, Tyrese Haliburton is clearly the best player from that trade. And the Kings just continue to be the Kings and fleeced a potential future all-star, maybe a Hall of Famer. Who knows? People think Tyrese's ceiling is different depending on who you ask. It's just, I was of the camp last year. I thought we all got to a point where we all accepted, look, good trade for both teams. Both teams got what they wanted out of it. Yes, the Kings probably didn't want to move on from Tyrese Haliburton. I think if you give Monty McNair some truth serum, he probably would have rather have traded off De'Aaron Fox instead of Tyrese Haliburton. But that's not what happened. And I think De'Aaron Fox has definitely proven Monty McNair a genius. I think, after his performance last year and how well he's played this year, it's clear that keeping De'Aaron Fox wasn't a mistake. I think people are just getting a little bit too caught up on, and I will admit, I almost fell victim to this last week. If we would have done this segment last week, I might have been a little bit more on the Team Haliburton side. But I still think it's too early. I'm not saying it's not possible that the Kings definitely got rid of the player who has a significantly higher ceiling. I just think we still haven't seen Tyrese Haliburton in a winning situation. Right. And definitely what he's doing in Indiana right now is fantastic. The first half of last year, he had that team rolling as well. He got hurt. They were terrible without him. But I just don't think that it's fair at this moment in time to say, wow, the Kings, yes, they got an all-star. Maybe he'll be an all-star again with the Kings, but he's an all-star caliber player. They gave up on a potential MVP candidate, a guy who could be one of the best, if not the best, Pacer of all time and could lead that franchise to heights that they've never seen before. I just think it's a little bit premature for that. Is Tyrese putting up crazy numbers? Yes. Does he look fantastic? Absolutely. But that should not discount the fact that without Domantas Sabonis on this team, the Kings are not successful. They're just not. Like, if they would have continued with the Tyrese Haliburton, De'Aaron Fox thing, maybe this year is where I would have guessed that starts to click and leads to success. But even that, I don't think was a guarantee. I always felt like those two just never really fit together, and both would have to sacrifice something from their game that just ultimately was never going to lead to both of them fulfilling the potential that they both clearly have. And I think we see that they both have been unlocked with that trade going through.
Right. The question is, individually, how good they both are, would they have been that good individually together? I guess, is the question. Because
like,
you're
if
saying,
this team is Tyrese and Sabonis instead of Fox and Sabonis.
Yeah, because what people are saying, how people do math, right, mm-hmm. is just stick what Halliburton's doing and put that and those stats on the Kings with De'Aaron Fox and they'd be rolling, right? So that is an interesting way, and you're saying pretty much no, just based on the way their games are played.
Yeah.
And we've seen similar versions to this with certain guards, right? I liken this a little bit, and neither of them shoot the same way as this guy. But when the Hawks went out and got DeJounte Murray, right? So it's Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. I thought, okay, I mean, that's cool.
Right.
DeJounte doesn't shoot like Trae Young, so at least one guy already was making up for something else. But either way, Hawks ain't winning anything.
Right.
Right? And really—
That's a great comparison, by the way.
Another one, which I think would be a bit closer— even though he doesn't handle the ball, was those years in Portland with Dame and CJ.
Right.
Where they were a great duo. CJ doesn't handle the ball as much as Dame. And it just got to a point where, hey, we can't get over the hump. Right. The Celtics have decided, hey, we have two guys that kind of play the same position, but we don't care.
Right.
Right. We're going to ride with both of them because having the most talent matters. And they're trying to make this work. Maybe this is the year, but luckily for them, Jason Tatum doesn't always need the ball and Jaylen Brown doesn't always need the ball. And they've looked for a very specific type of point guard that isn't really looking to score.
Exactly.
Right? So when you have two scoring, distributing point guards.
Mm-hmm. Who both need the ball in their hand.
Yeah. And what I would ask to people listening and to the texters in the YouTube chat as well is name another duo with two players with skill sets like this that A, hasn't taken away from the other, and B, have won at a high level. Because normally, this is how it goes. Now, I will say, and this is really going to tick you off, what I've also been seeing is that some people are not necessarily saying that you shouldn't have made the trade. They're saying that the Kings traded the wrong point guard.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. I don't know where to go with that. I would say I will not agree with that, but I will say that I think the Kings would have been fine no matter who they let go. Whether I think, you know, it's very clear that both of those guys are incredibly talented and can both lead their teams in different ways to success. I really think that that's fine. And even if that is true, it kind of doesn't matter because the trade wasn't happening. Like, De'Aaron Fox's stock right now is much different than what it was at the point of Tyrese Halliburton being traded. Mm-hmm. I think at that moment in time, De'Aaron Fox was not the asset that Tyrese Halliburton was. Mm-hmm. I think at that time, De'Aaron had just gotten his extension. So people were like, I don't know. This dude's, he's cool, but like you're paying him as much as you're paying guys like Jason Tatum, and I don't know if he has that level of impact yet. That's kind of a future bet. Tyrese is still on a rookie deal. You can convince yourself that his skill set is, you know, he doesn't have the ball in his hand enough, and, you know, a lot of people saw what he's doing right now at that moment in time. I just think that Tyrese, frankly, just was the better trade asset at that time, and I don't think Indiana does the trade for De'Aaron Fox is where I'm getting at. I don't know if anyone would admit it, but I just don't think. I know for a fact Monty McNair was willing to ship off either one of them. Mm-hmm. I think it became much like what we now know with Steph Curry and Monte Ellis. Both of those guys, guys were up to be traded. It was literally up to the other team. Milwaukee, when they decided to trade for Monte Ellis, just picked Monte Ellis. They could have had Steph Curry at that moment in time. Steph wasn't Steph yet. And I think it was the same exact situation with Indiana where Monty said, look, we need to bring Sabonis or a guy like Sabonis in here. We have Fox or Halliburton. Whichever one you want, I don't care. I'm just trying to get this deal done. Because they were also looking at Ben Simmons too. Like the Kings were just adamant about making a move to take them to a different level. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter who they got rid of. They just wanted to bring in another star. Just so happened that De'Aaron was the one that ended up staying, and thankfully he ended up proving his worth. But I won't say that the Kings kept the wrong guard. I would just say that they were going to keep one of them regardless. Like, you know, I don't know why it matters, because both of them clearly were the right decision. You weren't going to go wrong keeping either
right.
one
Neither
of them.
Neither of them are trash yeah, right now. Both exactly. of them are very good players. And when you look at Halliburton and Monte Ellis, that was a great drop right there. Because look at Steph Curry, right? And Warriors fans were ticked off.
Yeah.
When they were really moved upset. Off of Monte Ellis. He yeah. had ankle yeah, issues the ankle,
yeah.
and everything going on. And Monte Ellis, good player. And Monte Ellis was probably more proven at this time than Halliburton was.
I would say
was.
So, yeah.
And everybody was upset about it. Turns out the Warriors, even if they didn't technically made the right move, right. they benefited from being able to keep Steph Curry. And the same thing goes, it's funny enough, that now, all these years later, De'Aaron Fox is signed to who? Steph Curry. I'm just trying to bring right. it all back together here. And the last thing I will say is that we know De'Aaron Fox, as much as he's a kind of a quieter guy, he talks a lot. He's chirping at LeBron. Yeah. He loves it, right? And he's sitting there doing this interview with Steph Curry when he signs to him, and he says he wants to bust his you-know-what in his own shoes. Are we not bringing up enough? Are we sleeping on the fact that, not that it drives you, right? But I have people in multiple situations, and if you are a competitive person, if somebody beat you out for something, or if somebody is said to be better than you, whatever the case is, and whatever you do outside of sports, if you're a competitive person, yeah. you hear that noise and it drives you.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sleeping on the fact that maybe De'Aaron is seeing what Halliburton is doing and is also seeing some of these conversations that are being had? And not that it's driving him. I don't right. think he needs it to be
bulletin board material. Yeah.
But he says, you know, hey, I packed that thing too. You know what I mean? And if you guys are going to continue to disrespect me, right?
You will get clapped.
Believe okay. you me. Okay? And he's proving it time and time again
yeah.
every single game.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's an angle that really anybody has talked about in terms of just the chip on his shoulder mm-hmm. to where you're saying he's a better trade asset. Well, if that's the case, it's not. Look, I can't be mad at you, Sacramento Kings. You gotta do what's right for you, like on Stomp the Yard. You gotta do what's right for you. But you know, I thought you were gonna pledge Gamma U, you know, or Theta U, whatever it was. And they decide, hey, we want Halliburton. We don't want De'Aaron Fox because
yeah.
we don't think he's gonna be as good as Halliburton. So
for sure.
I don't think that's driving him. I don't think he wakes up every single morning right. and looks at Halliburton's stats. But you'd be surprised. But
no, for sure.
I do think there is a part of him that feels like I am at the least underrated, mm-hmm. a little bit disrespected, right? We play the same position. It is literally impossible
yeah.
to not sit there and compare yourself to somebody, the same position.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It was a different position.
I will also say that this is not like official reporting, and I'm not saying it's 100% true, but I do know that De'Aaron and Tyrese had a great relationship when they were here. They both mm-hmm. were honest to goodness, were trying to make it work between the both of them, and they understood how their games kind of clashed. De'Aaron, I think when he was here, definitely felt a type of way about how Tyrese Halliburton was covered. Because ever since he's came into the league, he's been a media darling. I mean, you hear him on the JJ Redick podcast.
Yeah.
The way people talk about Tyrese is not ever the way anyone talked about De'Aaron. And I think the fact that De'Aaron, even when Tyrese was here, De'Aaron was clearly further in his development. He's a little bit older, but De'Aaron was the better player on that day. I think that always sat wrong with him. It's like, all right, yeah, this guy's cool, but at the end of the day, I'm still the head of the snake here when it comes to this team, and this team's still going to go as far as I go. And I think some of that, I'm more just saying, I think that has been driving him longer than just after the trade. I think it's been driving him probably since Tyrese stepped in the building and he was like, oh, all of a sudden, I thought I was the franchise
guy,
and then all of a sudden, yeah, the backup quarterback's the most popular guy in town,
right?
Why
are you drafting a quarterback right after you drafted a quarterback?
Right.
We got to get to a break because, you know what, Warrior fans do the same thing to where if you sit there and say, hey, Warrior fans, did you want – it's the PR, right? And I'm not saying that LaMelo is as good as Halliburton.
Right.
I'm not.
Yeah.
But Warrior fans will laugh you out the building if you say – man, would you have taken LaMelo if you could, you know,
if you could redo
if
that
you could
draft,
have redo
right.
that draft? You take no, but I always knew Halliburton was going to be a guy. But LaMelo with the Splash Bros wouldn't have worked, but they are dead set positive that Halliburton with the Splash Bros would have worked. It's just PR.
Yeah.
It's just, I had a buddy who told me his dad had a saying that said, rats and squirrels are the same, but squirrels just have bushy tails and better PR. That's the only difference.
Totally.
Styles and Watkins, when we get back, Ben Ross, Bay Area broadcaster and journalist, covered the A's for NBC Sports Bay Area. We're going to talk A's with him when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
The Coliseum in Oakland, so they're going to be there in 2024. And we're exploring a variety of alternatives, including staying at the Coliseum for the remaining years in the interim.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. That was Rob Manfred talking about the A's possibly staying, playing at the Coliseum until 2028 when the mini stadium in Vegas is built with a retractable dome if they can make it work. And we are joined by Ben Ross, longtime follow on social media, Ben, but I don't know if we've ever actually chatted. Ben Ross, Bay Area broadcaster and journalist, covered the A's for NBC Sports Bay Area, now covers the A's, some of their games for AP, also CBS Sacramento. Ben, thank you for joining us on short notice. I'm sure you're getting hit up everywhere about this A's thing, man. How's it going?
Hey, no, thank you guys for having me on. Yeah, I mean, definitely a crazy day, kind of expected, to be honest, but still, you know, really sad, really disappointing for A's fans and I think baseball fans, too. So good to be on with you, though.
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to ask, because when I woke up this morning, I saw the Pass-In article and then I saw Nightingale. And there was still, you know, don't give me hope or anything, but there is still that glimmer of hope in terms of quite literally there's no shovel in the ground yet. But just to in your understanding, it's over, right? Unless something happens with the stadium.
I wouldn't say it's over. I mean, yeah, it's tough because, yeah, I don't want to give people too much hope. I mean, it's not good. Like, this was a huge step. I think at this point, the only thing that could keep this from going through, well, there's a couple of things. Number one, the fact that there's just not a lot of details about this plan in Vegas yet. Mm-hmm. Like, they put out these renderings that they then said were not legitimate. You know, they weren't going to work. And so they haven't put out real renderings yet. It's a really small site that they're talking about. And so, like, they haven't figured out a lot of the details about how exactly the stadium is going to be built, where the money is coming from. I mean, we don't, you know, with John Fisher, you never know if he's going to, he could screw something up, or he might not be able to get everything funded that he wants. So there's that. And then there's also this group called, which I'm sure you guys have seen, Schools Over Stadiums, which is a Nevada-based educators group, teachers who are trying to basically put on the ballot, give Nevada voters the option here on the ballot. Like, they're trying to prevent this $380 million of taxpayer money in Nevada from going toward this stadium. And I mean, again, it's like the crazy thing is it's really unpopular in Nevada too. Like, almost it's overwhelmingly, like, if they do get this thing on the ballot, it will almost certainly fail, and that would be another thing that could derail it. Obviously, the A's and MLB are filing lawsuits against that, too, to try and prevent it. So, I mean, there's those battles. But, again, to me, the biggest thing is there's just, like, not a lot of details right now about the stadium in Vegas, how it's going to be built, how big it's going to be, where all the funding is coming from. There's still a lot of those types of issues. But, yeah. I mean, it's still – this was obviously a bad day, the fact that they've now got the full go-ahead.
Yeah, and when it comes to that stadium, I mean, we played Rob Manfred before you joined us there, him saying, you know, they're still going to try and explore possibly playing in the Coliseum past 2024 when the lease is up.
Right.
My question is, why would the city of Oakland even remotely help John Fisher and MLB in this situation? And also, like, who are some potential candidates to potentially host the A's for those gap years, if you will, besides the Aviators Stadium, which from my understanding is an open roof, or not even an open roof, just an open air stadium in the middle of the desert.
Right. No, that's a great question too. That's another one of those things that's not known yet. Like, they've got three seasons, 25, 26, and 27, where they really have no idea where they're going to play. And
crazy.
And to your point, Las Vegas outdoors would be really difficult. I don't know if the players union would approve that.
Yeah.
Because again, it's a AAA facility and you're playing in Las Vegas in the summer. Extreme heat. To answer your question, you know, I think Oakland is not going to want to allow the A's to use the Coliseum. However, if they could get something out of it, I think the first demand that you're hearing about is, okay, if you're going to, like, if you want to use the Coliseum those years, the very first demand we have is that you change your name, that yes. Oakland gets to keep the rights to the Athletics. And I think, you know, they're also hoping for some sort of a guarantee that they could also get an expansion team in Oakland. I don't know if you can get that guarantee. But, I mean, I think that's certainly where you start, to at least keep the naming rights. I mean, we saw that with the Sonics when they left Seattle. We've seen that with other teams potentially. But, I mean, I think most fans, and I think Oakland is inclined to, you know, tell John Fisher and the team to go find their own place to play and kind of let them suffer through who knows where for the next. Well, they've got this year at the Coliseum, but then the next 3 years, yeah, who knows?
Talking to Ben Ross, Bay Area broadcaster and journalist, covered the A's for NBC Sports Bay Area, now covers some of their games for the AP, also a part of CBS Sacramento. Ben, I'm not trying to get you in trouble here, but do you think the A's acted in good faith? You have Shang Tao, the mayor of Oakland, saying that the city procured $928 million for a stadium in Oakland, but then you also have John Fisher and Major League Baseball saying they did everything in their power to make this work in Oakland. Very similar, I think even less clean than the Raiders situation. Where should the blame lie? We do a game on this, we do a show named Blame Pie. Where would you lay most of this blame?
I mean, I'm not afraid to say that I think 100% of the blame goes to the Oakland Athletics, to the team. And I'm also not afraid to say that I don't believe a word that John Fisher says. And I think anyone who's been paying attention shouldn't believe that, you know, a word that comes out of his mouth. Same thing goes at this point for Rob Manfred and MLB. I mean, I think it's tough to answer. I think at one point they were negotiating in good faith. I'm not sure what happened. There's a lot of speculation that maybe, you know, it got close and John Fisher realized he didn't have the money to hold up his end of this Howard Terminal deal. Because as you said, the city of Oakland actually did kind of get a lot of the financial requests that taken care of on their end. They raised a lot of money for the offsite infrastructure, more than Las Vegas did. And so, yeah, from the sounds of it, I mean, they were progressing. They were close. I think both sides will admit they were pretty close. And then just sort of abruptly, you know, Fisher and his team backed out. So, yeah, I mean, when Rob Manfred today says stuff like, you know, we want to do everything in our power to avoid moving a team, and we feel like we did, that's just not true. It's just not. There's facts and details to back that up. There's plenty that could have been done to keep this team in Oakland. And again, the city, I think, agreed to most of the requests that the team made, and I think maybe even surprised the A's at that point. So I'm not afraid to say that I put 100% of this on the A's and Major League Baseball.
Ben, I now is probably not the time that you want to go back and think about all the steps of this process, but is there anything that just really sticks out to you that just has never sat well with you throughout all of this relocation stuff? Because it's been messy, it's been dirty, it's been shady. There's been so many lies that have been told, from the renderings to just everything involved with this has just been a mess. Is there one thing that particularly sticks out to you that just you can't get over?
It's tough to pick one thing.
Yeah.
Because as you said, it's kind of everything. I mean, if I'm going to pick one thing, to me, it's the dishonesty. I mean, I think the A's have been dishonest throughout the process. I think the league has been dishonest. I think Rob Manfred has been dishonest. And, you know, I don't know. Look, here's the thing. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be this naive about professional sports. I think it's always been this way. Maybe not always this dirty, but look, professional sports is big business. We've seen teams move before. But as someone who has a career covering sports, it makes it tough for me. It's getting harder and harder for me to separate the sport itself and the athletic talent that you're seeing from the big business and the greed and some of the corruption that you see, not just in baseball, in all pro sports. You know, I actually, for the last couple of years, wrote for MLB.com on a freelance basis. And I quit that job this past year when Rob Manfred was kind of making fun of the A's reverse boycott and was like, oh, it was nice to have like almost an average crowd, you know, just stuff like that. I found outrageous, unnecessary, really disgusting. And, you know, I couldn't be a part of working for an organization like that. And again, like, I'm still going to work in sports, but I don't see myself ever going for fun to a Major League Baseball game again.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't blame
that's,
you.
That's, really that's tough, you. Ben, but we appreciate you being honest with us. And thank you for coming on, Ben Ross. This has been a great conversation.
Yeah.
Just to pull it behind the curtain, I hit up Ben this morning. I said, Ben, can you come on? I know you're passionate about the A's and about this. And Ben was very, very nice to come on with us and just give some great perspective for those that were curious about certain things within the A's and a tough day for Oakland, the East Bay, and honestly, Northern California.
No, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, definitely a tough day, and I think, honestly, not a good day for baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Ben. Take care.
Appreciate it, Ben.
We'll talk to you
Absolutely.
Soon.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
All righty. That was Ben Ross, Bay Area broadcaster and journalist, covered the A's for NBC Sports Bay Area, now covers them for AP, also a part of CBS Sports Sacramento. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Draymond was suspended. How do you feel about the amount of games? And guess who he returns against? Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Inbounds to Anthony Davis. Hands to Reed, ball knocked away. It's loose, it's grabbed by Keegan. He's running to the rack. He two-hand flushes it home. What a job defensively by Keegan Murray.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, as Chris is just a man of many hats, no pun intended, putting up the Keegan Murray jersey, which is the freshest one.
It is.
I think you wanted to put that up to make sure nobody got their paws on it first.
Yeah, you know.
Because that one's fresh.
That one's fresh.
You said the city, that's the city edition, and I said so. the jerseys last night were Where's the shout-out edition?
No, those aren't. They still haven't shown the earned edition. Statement edition.
I said shout-out. Yeah, shout out the statement.
There's city edition. There's, I don't even know, standard edition or something. And then
standard ops.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't keep up with the Nikeification of
careful
of the NBA jerseys. It's too much.
We have an expert joining us right now on jerseys.
Yeah, so we have the Icon Edition jerseys, the Association jerseys, the Statement jerseys, and the City Edition jerseys.
Fantastic. Of course.
Why do I know this? Because G-Man had the same question last night.
Thank you, G-Man. And thank you, Kyle, for that guest appearance. I'm sure the YouTube chat will be very excited to hear from Kyle. Also have some news. Snoop Dogg
Snoop-a-loop.
Is quote-unquote.
Snoop-a-loop.
He released a statement.
Yep.
Now, help us out here, because we don't know if he's messing around with words. He says, I am giving up, and this is quote.
This is a direct
quote. I am giving up smoke.
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 I am giving up smoke. That's what he said.
Snoop wants no smoke.
Right. So people, obviously, you read that and you think, hey, Snoop is synonymous with the Mary Jane. Is that what this is about?
Right.
But he didn't say it. It's illegal in California, so I'm sure he could say it. He
definitely
didn't say it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's just going to ingested a different way.
That's what I would guess,
I don't know,
right?
What. Yeah, maybe just giving his lungs a break. I don't know.
I would hope so. I would hope so.
But this is breaking news here.
This is breaking world
Simone,
news.
Our producer, texts us. Anything else happens, no text. Snoop gives up smoke. We get a text.
Hey, I heard the news about Chase Young back in the day. Remember, facts? You guys were clowning on
that's
me
right.
when that happened.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right. From Chase Young to Cat Sounds to Snoop Dogg information. That is Simone for you. Thank you, Simone. As we transition now to someone who does want the smoke all the time, Draymond Green.
Oh, my goodness.
And it came down last night like Zeus from the heavens, Adam Silver, 5 games. Do we think Adam Silver looked at the schedule for this?
Yes.
How people say Kings Warriors isn't a rivalry.
Yeah.
I believe it is. Chris, I believe you agree.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. 5 games, and I get it. It's an easy number. But what are the chances mm-hmm. he returns November 28th,
of course,
when the Warriors play the Kings? What are the chances?
What are the chances?
Did you throw around 4 games? Did you throw around 3 games? Did you throw around 6 games? 5 on the nose.
5 on the nose.
Coming back. And look, Adam Silver is good at his job.
He is. He's
right.
He's okay. He's getting worse,
I would say. He's good at certain things. He's playing chess, not checkers. And the question is 5 games too much? There was, what was it, Bam Adebayo, who really got into a scrap not too long ago. He got 2 to 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
So Warrior fans are saying, how did Bam get, or he got no games, actually. He got no games for that.
Uh-huh.
Ben Simmons, when he put Karl Anthony Towns in a headlock, did not get 5 games.
A little bit different, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Both of those are a little bit different.
I'm just saying.
So
here is Stephen
off.
A, and this was, I believe this was Stephen A last night reacting to it, and we knew somebody would have this take. And here is Stephen A. with the 80s was a great time to play basketball team.
Oh, my God.
Now, maybe I'm showing my age here. Maybe I'm showing my detachment from today's youth, this softest cottonelle tissue that the league has turned itself into. Maybe that's my issue. And I'm not calling the players soft. I'm saying the league in terms of rules that they've imposed upon the players where, damn it, you might get ejected for looking at people wrong. Think about the tech that Anthony Edwards received the other day in Minnesota when he dunked on somebody and then screamed and stared at him. He got teed up for something like that. By the way, this brother is the star of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He ain't coming. He's arrived. I just think it's a bit excessive, and I think people are overreacting. Yes, you wrapped your arms around his neck, for crying out loud, and held on to it too damn long, Draymond. That is true. It warrants a 2 to 3 game suspension. But to treat this brother like, oh, my God, he's damn near a criminal, and we got to suspend him for a lengthy period of time. No, we're not doing that. At least I hope not.
Stephen A. is like...
Molly.
This man is like the De'Aaron Fox of talking. Like, you know, De'Aaron, like, he's learned... Like, De'Aaron don't just go 100% all the time.
Right,
he's
right.
like, let me go from, like, 80 to 40 and then 50, and then I'll hit 100 for those last 2 steps. Stephen A. goes from, like, 75 back to, like, 14.
Yeah,
and then he's all the way back up to 100.
Yeah, all the time.
I love it.
And you do. No, I love Miami. I'd love to go this time.
Come on.
This summer.
Come on.
It's not about that right now. It's not about that right now.
No, it's not. It's definitely not about Stephen A's love interest right now. But.
Yes, and he is off the rails,
he is
by
off the rails.
Way.
Don't I mean, look some, at the Stephen A.
No,
Smith
please,
podcast.
Please do. Please. Some of the things are just hilarious. So we knew somebody would have this take.
Yeah, of course.
We knew somebody would say,
back in my day. Come on.
Right, and look, I don't think he's alone. I do
no,
not think
sure.
he's alone on this. Whether you agree or not, we're looking on the
how dare
on the chat right now. Pike 916 saying wasn't enough, should have been 10 minimum. Honestly, 5 seems right.
5 seems fine. 5 seems totally fine. I mean, Draymond deserves some form of suspension, but I think 10 would have just been too much. Like, I mean, it was definitely egregious what Draymond did, but I mean, if you're going to use Stephen A's example, if Anthony Edwards yelling in someone's face and saying too small is worth 1 tech, then I feel like if you put someone in a chokehold, that's
removing
probably
someone from a situation.
That's probably worth 10 techs.
No,
which
just
is
being
games.
A good teammate.
You know?
Now I'm trolling. Being a good teammate.
Yeah,
is
being
worth,
a good teammate
is worth about
know?
5 games.
Just trying to de-escalate the situation by definitely putting it at like a 10. Yeah, for sure.
And by the way, friend of the show, went mini viral, dare I say. Uh-oh. Remember that screenshot we were talking about?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know who started that mini screenshot?
I don't.
Our own, not our own, but friend of the show, Larry Krueger.
Did he really?
Stingers up.
Oh, man.
Stingers
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I think Larry was the one who I saw have the take of, I actually love, like, what else do you want Draymond to do? I would rather have 3 to 4 Draymonds on my team.
I want a whole team
That's
of Draymonds.
That's like, Larry.
All just backpack jump shots.
Please.
All kicking and backpack jump shots.
You can only have one Draymond. If you have two, that's just one too many. Every team needs one wild card, but... Yeah, once you start becoming a team of what, like, that's when it starts to spread and it kind of becomes a virus, you know?
How hostile do you think this environment will be in Golden 1 when Draymond, he's going to be healthy because he ain't playing?
Well, will Draymond be on his best behavior? Because he probably figures the environment's going to be crazy. He's just coming off a suspension for doing some wild stuff.
I think you're going to look.
And he's seeing a former victim.
He's going to, right. This guy's going to catch a stray here, but I have a feeling you might be playing how many minutes did Draymond play?
Right.
Because I think he's just going to be on his best behavior. Mm-hmm. He knows he's in a, it's almost as if, to be fair, it's almost as if Adam Silver is testing him.
Yeah.
Right. I'll let you come back in 5, but you got to go to Sacramento and deal with those fans and deal with Sabonis. This is your first time playing against them at home, right? So you're going to have to deal with this. And actually, when they played, both times the Warriors played, Draymond didn't play, right? Correct?
Did he play the second time?
I don't think
he did. No, he played the second time because he traveled on the pass to Clay. I believe when Clay cut, he traveled on that pass, and he also scored a layup with like.
That's
a
right.
To go.
That's right. So now you got to go to Sacramento, first time returning since the stomp, the A-Town stomp,
Tourney Day,
the Sacktown stomp heard around the world.
Tourney Day,
and it's a Tourney Day.
I think that's the last Tourney Day too. So that's a pretty big game. Doesn't surprise me too. You know, Adam Silver he implemented this new, load management rules. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that Sacramento Kings Warrior game is a national TV game.
Can't sit anybody.
No, not
that
not
they
for the
would.
National TV.
You know what? I will say. You know, we were roasting LeBron yesterday, and one thing we praise LeBron on is never sitting. Right?
Yes.
Kids come to see LeBron. He's played for 21 seasons, and he's done the best he can to make sure if somebody pays their good money to see LeBron, you're going to see LeBron. And I think that Steph has just not been as healthy as LeBron. But I wouldn't put Steph in the same category as LeBron.
In terms of health? Yeah.
Well, and also just load management. I think Steph has sat a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I will say that the Warriors have played pretty nice. And that's why the NBA, people say the NBA loves the Warriors. Mm. Warriors fans think the NBA hates them. Come on, that's ridiculous. But I will say that the Warriors have always played pretty nice in terms of
playing
national games. Yeah. And everybody knows that we want to see everybody. So
right.
I'm glad it's a national game. I think the Warriors want that smoke.
Yeah.
They do.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's
definitely.
Going, we will be in the building.
Yes, we will.
And by the way, we got to start telling people, I know we got a couple weeks here, but I keep on saying, come say hello to us, but I'm not giving the section.
Location.
So we are in.
Let's not give out the section of everybody. Maybe we'll go to the people
DM
that
us.
A
DM
central
us.
Meeting spot.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to be responsible for, you know, some, you know, when these YouTubers have meetups at malls and stuff, you know, they got to like shut down malls.
Are you Speed? Are you?
Look, hey, man, I'm just...
What's the other guy, Kai Cenat? This guy thinks very highly of himself.
I'm just saying I don't want to cause a commotion.
No, you're right. You're right. Chris, autographs.
Yeah, exactly.
Watkins,
it's already enough with Frankie, man.
We are back. Styles and Watkins. A little bit of crosstalk here. Whitey, Jerry, how's it going?
The great Jerry Reynolds with us again today.
Woo! Hey, great to have you, Jerry.
It is great to be here after a huge Kings win.
Come on.
Look at the smile on his face. You know why? Because it was the Lakers.
Exactly. I was like,
you can't beat the Lakers often enough.
That's right.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, there's few pleasures in this world that are better than just beating the Lakers on national TV.
Yeah, Jerry, were you worried at all in the fourth quarter when LeBron tried to make one of his famous pushes at the end and close the gap on the Kings and maybe the bright lights of the national game and the Lakers? Were you worried at all?
Yes. Yes. I've seen that act before.
Yeah,
about
yeah.
20 years worth.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he just about drugged those guys with him. You know, I mean, the guy, you know, I always say Father Time's always wins, but boy, he's struggling to win this battle.
It's going into overtime.
Yeah. 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 You were there for game one. I mean, that's, do you ever just think about the fact that you quite literally were there for his first game? And do you ever just kind of look at his career and be like, I just would have never guessed that at this point in time, he'd still be going at this level.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I saw him and scouted him a good bit at that time. Mm. And, you know, saw him in the McDonald's game.
Yeah.
So I remember telling Grant, I said, you know, because he asked me, how good is this guy? He's the best. I said, he's the best I've ever seen.
Wow.
I said, he'll step right in and be good day one. It won't be like Garnett or Kobe or maybe even Wembanyama. He'll be good day one. Mm. And he was.
And he was.
Now, I didn't think he'd last. You know, I thought he'd be like a normal human.
Exactly.
And start fading at 32 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Are you still getting TV residuals from the commercial?
No. You know, and they should bring that back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, then they'd have to give me.
But you were for a while, right?
We got it for about 6 months because that was the first commercial they did for Nike with him.
Wow.
You know, like it's his first game, and it wasn't. I mean, it was his first game, but we did it in a fake circumstance, and so, cha-ching. Yeah.
Did you do that in like an empty arena?
There's about five.
Was it at Arco?
Yeah. They had 500 extras, and they just would put them different,
strategically throughout the building.
Until, yeah, until, you know, it looked like it was full. And then the reason Grant and I got paid is because we had a speaking part.
Mm.
And so, you know, I was really good. Grant wasn't that good.
Yeah. But, best actor I've ever
you know,
seen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I carried him. But but anyway, yeah, every week for how long, you know, is we get a $1,000 check.
Is that from Nike?
From Nike.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Get a Phil Knight signed signature.
Yeah. I don't remember if it was Phil's signature on there. I might have kept it.
Thank you, Jerry, from
but
Phil.
I cast him pretty quick. Yeah, it was a real joy because Grant would always call me, hey, did you get your check?
I'm already at the bank.
And then all of a sudden, you know, after so many weeks, it's like, no,
stop coming.
One.
Yeah, so, yeah. Had a good run. Yeah. What do you think from last night was maybe not the most surprising thing, but the thing that you were happiest about that you think can continue? Because Kevin Huerter, 28 points, as much as we'd love that to continue, I don't know that we can slot that in every evening. But some of the things, the defense from Keegan Murray, he's really convincing me that he can be this two-way guy that I think Coach Mike Brown really thinks he can be.
I agree with you. You know, that's a surprise to me, not his offense. But
right.
And I thought he'd be able to guard some forwards, but he can guard guards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important for this team.
Yeah.
You know, because you can, you know, put him on really some smaller guards that he can bother. So, you can't really count on shooting the ball that well. But I think the key has always been, you know, Fox and the Ox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're both playing extremely well, this team can beat anybody.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised at how well Sabonis is playing. I thought last year was like that was his max, and he was great. There's no question. And I thought, well, you know, probably not fair to expect anything more of him. And I know it's early, but so far it's like, wow, yeah, there's another gear there almost.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a week or so ago against Houston, the one game, I said he played the worst game I've ever seen him.
And I watched
him a lot in Indiana. But I'll tell you, here's my take's a little different than yours. Here's what's going to happen with Sabonis. By the end of the year, he's going to average 19 points.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to shoot 60%. Mm-hmm. He's going to get 12 rebounds.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to get 7 assists. I mean, which is
incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's who he's been. He was that way before he got to the Kings. People forget that, like he didn't know.
Yeah.
He was averaging exactly that with the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking a little bit during the break, but I the thing that just surprised me the most about Sabonis' game is just the fact that he's able to, and you know, yeah, he's struggled a little bit throughout this year, but just it feels like his physical presence is something that's there every single night. And Alan actually brought up a great point. It feels like he's done a great job of starting the game physically as well, where you look up at the end of the first quarter, it feels like every single night where he plays and he's got some version of like 10, 6, and 4, and just is everywhere, all over the place. And it feels like just in general, he sets the tone physically from the start of the game, much like what Mike Brown has talked about with their defense. And from there, it's just letting you know, especially when the Lakers are on the second night of a back-to-back, I'm going to be here all day. Yeah. And this is, if you want to play this game, this is going to be a really long night for you.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And not to cut you off there, Jerry, but you're going to have to answer that on the other side because it's time for the Drive Guys with Jerry Reynolds and for Kyle Draper and, of course, Whitey Gleason. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Keep on listening. 2 to 6, Sacktown Sports.